and a skewed perspective of it that many people had then and now. Sometimes those skewed perspectives are funny and humorous. Sometimes they're very destructive and troubling. But I'd just like to share maybe a couple of funny ones at the moment to get us going this morning. First is just that I want to share is basically, I think it tells a truth about God in yet in a humorous way. It says, Sunday school teacher began her lesson with a question. Boys and girls, what do we know about God? And a hand shot up in the air. He is an artist. That's true. God is an artist. Isn't it amazing? Said the kindergarten board. Really, how do you know? The teacher asked. You know, our Father who does art in heaven. A misunderstanding can sometimes lead to those humorous truths about God. It is true, God is an artist. But that's not how we know. Okay. On the law, somebody once figured out that we have 35 million laws trying to enforce 10 commandments. More complicated than it seems, isn't it? 10 simple commandments, we've got 35 million laws. And then there was this gracious lady mailing an old family Bible to her brother in another part of the country. And the postal clerk asked her, is there anything breakable in here? And she replied, only the Ten Commandments. Isn't that the truth, though? And that's the point of what we've been reading, is that the Ten Commandments are breakable. And that we break them all the time, thought, word, deed, by acts of commission and acts of omission. But luckily we have learned that we have the communion table to remind us that salvation comes through faith in Christ and not works of the law. So let's turn to our scripture this morning. Romans. Chapter 4, verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, now we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present in such a way as to illuminate these scriptures for us and to grant us understanding which is beyond our normal realm of human knowledge and understanding, but supernatural and God-led understanding is what we want, Lord. We want to know what it is you would have us to take from these words today and to apply to our lives. What truths are there for this day and what truths are there for each and every day? Lord, help us to look at your word and read it not as just an exercise, but as water to people who are dying of thirst. May we drink in your word and be renewed and refreshed and saved. Now, Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me this morning, that as I preach your word, I would speak in such a way and a manner so as not to be a stumbling block to your people, but to be an encourager. That I would speak the word fully and completely, not withholding any aspect of your truth, so that they might know you more and so be blessed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was looking at this passage this week, I started writing out what this says is in mathematical formulas. Don't ask me why. Math was never my favorite subject. But it just seemed to lay it out. We see that where there is no law, where there's nothing, there is no promise. You see that faith leads to righteousness, which leads to the promise. We see that the law and living it, if that equals being an heir, then there is no faith. The truth is that the law is the equivalent of wrath or leads to wrath, and that where there is no law, there is no transgression. So when we take those sets and we build this algebraic equation, what do we come up with? God loves us. And it's not based upon not breaking the Ten Commandments. Yes, we should seek to follow them. There is blessing in doing so. But the fact is that in breaking the Ten Commandments, we have brought upon ourselves the penalty of death. And it doesn't matter whether we broke one small part of it or the whole thing. For if we do break one part, we break the entirety. And whether we break it in thought, word, deed, act of commission or omission, doesn't matter. It's still broken. Found that out just yesterday. I pulled the stuff out of the cupboard. I was trying to put some dishes away, and I'd shoved the antique old candy dish up there, and it came crashing down, and you know what? It broke in a bunch of pieces. On its way down, it happened to hit my favorite tea mug. Okay, I got it for graduation from my high school, engraved with my graduation present. It was had my initials engraved in it, and glass, and a big one. You know, I don't like these little tea things. I'm kind of like Ed, you know, tea should come in like 16-ounce portions. And it was just chipped a little bit on the lip part. Well, it's broke. It's no good. You can't have broken glass. You can't drink from broken glass. It's not good for you. You could hurt yourself. You ingest glass, you end up shredding your insides. So, I threw it away. One was shattered, totally. The other one, well, no, it didn't hold water, it'd be good. No, they're both broke. And that is the law in us. What we found is that Christ doesn't somehow do an end around the law, but fulfills it. So that the law has been completed. And where the law is no more, then there's no more transgression. Because it's been fulfilled. If you have an empty and you fill it, it's not empty anymore. And the law cannot be fulfilled by us. It needs the fulfillment of Christ. And when He fulfills it, we can't fall in that pit anymore. Fulfills it. That means filled to the fullness. Not a little bit filled, but fulfilled. It seems kind of silly to point that out, but it's not somewhat filled, not three-quarters filled, nine-tenths filled, 99-one-hundredths filled, but full. Filled, complete. By Christ. And by believing that He has done so, that's how we get faith. Or I'm sorry, get righteousness. By having faith in that and believing that, we receive righteousness. And that comes from God. That initial faith we can even ask God for. We don't even have to have it in and of ourselves. We can say, Lord, just give me the faith to believe in You. And He will do that. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. See, the promise was that Abraham's children would be heirs to the world, and they would be covering the whole earth, and that through him, the whole world would be saved. But through Abraham, this would happen. That he would be a father of nations. Nations that followed God. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom He believed. The God whom gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. This passage has just hit me hard the last week. Especially this morning. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Because we are dead in the law. The law gives us nothing but ultimate death. And Christ died for us. And Abraham said that his body was as good as dead. He's at about 100 years old, and God is saying, I am going to make you a father. And he's saying, okay, if you say so. And Sarah, I know that her womb is dead too. But you say you're going to use her womb and my seed to bring a nation, nations to this world. Okay. Death. God looks at what we see as dead. He says, no, there's life. And I looked at that and I see Northbrook this week. And you know what? How long have people been saying that this church is dead? Or dying? Or asking if they're going to sell it? 8 years. 8 years. But it's not. Because God has indeed blessed it. He has promised it. He has told us that He is going to use us and has us here for a purpose. And just as He had Abraham for the purpose of bringing salvation to the world and being the father of nations, He has Northbrook here for the purpose of bringing God's salvation to the world around Northbrook and being a father of those who would later come to know Christ in this area. Father of nations. And this city is of nations. Name the people group. You can find them here. Say, Pastor, I think you're twisting Scripture just a little bit to claim this promise. I don't think so. You know, I'm not taking this passage and saying that something other than what God's Word is saying. I'm saying that I believe that God is the God who has done before and will continue to do and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Lazarus, come forth. He was 3 days dead in the tomb. Out he came. Not dead, but alive. It was He that spoke to Abraham. Abram at this point, that you shall be Abraham. And that you shall have children. And be the father of many nations. And the world shall be blessed through you. Against all hope. Stacked against him. How many of you here are in your 90s? None. Yet how many of you here consider yourself old? Nobody. You're all young at heart. Wonderful. How many of you are over 80? How many over 70? How many over 5? See, God speaks life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. We look at it and we say, it's not. God says, it is. Guess what? It is. God looked to Peter and said, Peter, I knew I'm going to build my church. They look and say, no, just a dumb fisherman. People looked at a young Billy Graham and they saw a young man from a small town in the South and of no real means, of no great education. But God called him to be evangelist and pastor to this country and to many in the world, and he has been. The greatest evangelist of this century, anyways, or of the last century either. See, God looks at what looks to be nothing. He says it is. And from that, He brings His greatest gifts. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. He says, okay, I'm almost 100. My wife, she's not far behind me. We've been married over 30 years, 40 years, no children to date. We've been trying to have children, but now God says, so I'm going to believe, I'm going to have hope. There's no basis for that hope other than God's Word. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. I see that promise for us here at Northbrook. I see that promise in our daily lives, but I see that as our life corporately. An encouragement to us. So what's required? Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what He has promised? Are you willing? Are you willing to be strengthened by faith in God? Words. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us. I don't think I'm twisting the Scripture. I think the promises that are here are for us. Right here it's saying, this is for us too. As long as we believe the promise that God has given us. Is it a promise that God has given? Yes. We have heard clearly God's voice. And if God has promised we can have faith, He will fulfill it. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. But also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believed on Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus didn't go to the cross for any of His sins, but for the justification of our sins. And God welcomed us as children of Abraham and children of the promise into His family when we believed on Christ. Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I love that Sunday school and vacation Bible school song. And the kids love it. Why? Because it's full of hope in God's promise. See, the math is that faith in Christ results in righteousness of Christ, which results in receiving the promise. It's mathematical truth. But more than that, it's the truth of God. So this morning, yes, it's still morning. This morning, receive God's faith that He has for you. Have hope where there is no hope, because you've put your faith on Jesus Christ and know that God fulfills His promise. Don't try to put promises there that aren't from God. But God's promises, He fulfills. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we, too, can call ourselves sons of Abraham, children of the promise, because we have faith in Christ and the work that Jesus did on the cross. And that we, by having faith in Him, have received His righteousness to cover over our unrighteousness. And so You have made us heirs, co-heirs with Christ, heirs of the promise, children of the living God. Lord, help us to have hope and to live with hope even when there is none, because You have given us faith. Lord, might our hope be in You, which You always, always are true to. That You will deliver Your promise and receive each of us into Your kingdom. And use this church and use each of us for the glory and honor of Your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we close.